actually hearing the vibration of the sun. It almost has a warmth to it. It's just enough where I can almost feel the sound on my skin or on my clothes. I imagine.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. This is a very special broadcast today. This is a conversation between myself and the curator of a project that has been recently released by Unit Pit. And I'm in the studio with Jefferson. Hi, Jefferson.
Hey, Sierra.
How's it going? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. I had the privilege of being able to attend the launch of the Volume 3 of the Sound of the Sun project. But I guess before we get into that, can you tell folks listening a bit about yourself and how you got into work with Unit Pit?
Yeah. You said my name is Jefferson Alade, and I can spell myself. So currently I am doing my master's at Emily Carr. But before that I was living in Los Angeles. I did my undergrad at UCLA, but originally from Edmonton, and have been really interested in music, sound stuff for a while. And Unit Pit and like this project was the first opportunity I kind of brought all my different interests together, and I was able to kind of curate a cassette, but then also do an event around the music and the sound and the experience. So
that's wonderful. And with Sound of the Sun, what's the concept behind it? I know there's been a couple of different volumes that have been released.
Yeah. So it started off, I guess, a year ago around this time. And this is the third iteration. And Unit Pit was really interested. And Unit Pit has a long history of like working with sound and music, but they were kind of interested in the sense of getting artists to respond to this prompt of kind of like meditating on the lengthening and of the days, with the shortening of the days for the winter solstice, and kind of getting seen with artists kind of produced based on that. And I think it's kind of timely, even just thinking about our world and like the changing conditions and whatnot. But also just kind of thinking about audio as like this kind of creative medium and letting that kind of have light.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been personally really starting to learn a lot about sound and audio as a creative medium and something that can be used to express, I guess, emotions, feelings, experiences that are not as easily expressed through a visual medium. You said you yourself are interested in like sound and art as as an artistic medium. How was it working on a project like this, kind of bringing that interest into a curatorial practice?
Yeah, it was interesting because, a lot of like the work I've done before this, a little bit of like organizing event, but a lot of it's my own personal practice as like a DJ and an artist myself. But like taking the curatorial stance was like honestly very exciting and really enjoyable. And I think in some ways I was able to empathize with the artist and kind of like know where they're coming from, but then also from the curatorial perspective, kind of getting a wider range of perspectives and seeing a lot like different people, and I kind of was able to kind of piece things together, and I think that stance was really fun for me. And just kind of seeing everything come together was really exciting. And I think for me it was a mixture of Unit Pit had this prompt of like responding to the sun, but then for me it was like working with the artists and kind of getting the best out of them, and that was like a part that I really enjoyed as well.
Did you get to work quite closely with the artists?
This and that, yeah. So like after the initial submissions came in and I kind of like chopped that down, so there was like over 40 people that applied, and we brought it down to 10, and I made it a point to like meet with all the artists, and I met with all of them at least once. And then through that, after that, it was kind of like whenever they needed help I can like reach out, and they reach out to me. I definitely would try to like build that relationship. And I was talking to one of the artists yesterday, and I didn't even realize this for them, but just like us meeting, it kind of gave them space to know where their bounds were. And I felt that was cool to see that they were able to kind of take that space. So.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how people are able to kind of respond to the space that they're given. And when given the space and given the support that they need, just start to kind of expand.
Yeah.
So you got to work kind of one-on-one a little bit with artists, but there was some distance as well. Were you surprised by any of the pieces that came through in their final form?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like some, I think So it's like some artists, and like that's like, because also again from the arts perspective, sometimes like I like to like talk and refer to people, but sometimes I'm just like, I want to work and go to my zone. And I know some people are also like that, and so like I talk to them like once, like a short like Zoom call, and then at the end, I know like Sam's piece at the end, like we talked like very briefly, and but I knew he like knew what he was doing, and at the end he like had the longest track on the cassette, but it was like super lovely and it like super progressed, and like yeah, definitely really caught me out as well. So yeah, it was really cool to hear.
That's really cool. I suppose we should probably hop into some of the pieces here. You were kind enough to bring the cassette that's been released as a part of this project. So we're going to give it a shot to play these pieces through cassette on air here. So what's the first piece that we're going to hear?
The first piece is Forever in the Eyes of a Dreamer by Imix. She also performed last night, which was amazing and surreal. And yeah, I think it's a really cool piece. She uses a lot of like harmonizers and kind of really pushes her voice and tells a cool story.
Beautiful. All right. You will hear that in just a moment here.
Dreamer. catastrophe, an endless pyroclastic flow. All this he could not hold, but to become the light when one looks up at the sky in the night.
Thank you. Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Qatari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Campbell Bay Music Fest is a small music festival held in a beautiful waterfront setting on Skithek, or Main Island, in British Columbia's Gulf Islands. We present emerging artists in a diverse array of genres and have a simple mission: bring musicians and music lovers together for a really, really good time. We feature multiple genres with a focus on progressive music and music rooted in folk traditions, and we always aim to have something you've never heard before. Campbell Bay Music Fest runs June 21st to 23rd, and the artist lineup includes Madeline Roger, Medusa, Pony Girl, Rozier, Talal McBriar, Ila Bamba, and many, many more. Tickets are on sale now at www.campbellbaymusicfest.com. That's CAMPBELL, campbellbaymusicfest.com.
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part four of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
Welcome back. You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from University of British Columbia's Point Grey campus on the unceded territories of the Musqueam people. I'm in the studio with Jefferson Alade, who is the curator of Sound of the Sun Volume 3, a project released by Unit Pit yesterday, actually. Yeah. Over the break, we were talking a little bit about the event yesterday that was kind of the release for this tape. Can you tell us a little bit about the event, how it came to be, the vision behind it?
Yeah, is this on as well?
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, the event was yesterday. I thought it went really well. And the idea around the event, and for me, like, coming from like a design perspective as well, and like thinking of like relational aesthetics and kind of like how do you let the event also like kind of like mimic what the art and whatnot is about. And I thought it would be really cool to, like, it's the longest day of the year to also do a long event. And for the previous iterations of the cassette, they just had, like, a live performance and whatnot. And I thought for me, like, if we're going to do a cassette, I also, like, would want it for people to actually like, hear the cassette. So that's why we started getting, like, playing around with, like, how we would do the listening room. And then the garden was starting to, like, grow and develop. And we're like, oh, this would be a perfect spot for it. And then... Then kind of like doing the listening room at the first start of it, and then talking to like the director too, like kind of like what are the things that people want at an event, like how you can keep them there and bring them together. So that's where the idea of like around the food came out. And I was lucky enough to like have been like meeting a lot of people around the city, and I ended up meeting these people that work at Bleach Studios. They're a listening bar room in Chinatown. They're new kind of set up there, and meeting them again and connected with them, they were grateful enough to help us with the catering for the event. And then at the end was like the live performance, and that was kind of like tying things together and kind of like showing what these musicians were and artists were working on in like more of a live setting. So
yeah, it was a beautiful event. I was lucky enough to attend, and I really appreciated having that listening room set up outside and having that really like very soft and intentional space to just sit and listen. And it was really cool to witness a large group of people spending time just in silence listening and sitting with the pieces that they were experiencing. I don't think that's something I get to see very often. People are generally pretty much on the move, you know. And I had this thought when I was sitting in the listening room, kind of under the, I don't even know what you call it, kind of like canopy, gazebo tree, canopy, yeah, kind of thing, holding the little booklet that was kind of introducing the event. And I had this thought of, oh, this feels like worship in a weird way. Like, I'm not a religious person. Yeah. I went to church as a kid, but it's just this very intentional being in a place with other people to experience mm-hmm. and learn and like take in something.
Yeah. So I'm glad you had that experience. I'm so glad getting that feedback too. Cause yeah, I think for me, and like a lot of like the research and work I'm doing is kind of around like reimagining like music listening experiences or just like listening experiences. And like, I think one thing I've kind of like landed on is that, like the way you appreciate music and the, like the value and whatnot is like also like the experience and how you first heard it. So like, yeah, I think I was honestly surprised. Like I was like listening to them, like people come, but I was surprised that a lot of people came and a lot of people were actually silent and like wanting to listen. And I think, yeah, through that shared experience, I think there was something there happening and people were really, yeah, really taking that time of meditation and really like kind of absorbing. So I was super happy to see.
Yeah, and having that be a collective experience mm-hmm. was really special as well. We've talked a little bit about kind of sound as an artistic medium mm-hmm. and the kind of unique qualities that it has. And something that's really struck me as I've gotten to understand sound as an artistic medium a little bit better mm-hmm. is that it does have this, it has a different temporality to mm-hmm. it. You have to sit with it. You have to be with it mm-hmm. rather than, for example, visual art where you can look at it and kind of like walk away or spend mm-hmm. whatever time with it. Sound kind of necessitates just giving yourself over to
it. No, it's so interesting because I've been like kind of like the visual art is such like a dominant kind of idea and like way of being in our like world, Western world, and kind of thinking about how does sound fit into like our artistic life. And I think it necessitates being treated differently. And like the aspect of like having to kind of be more meditative with it, but then there's also this aspect of like there's different ways to listen to it and different ways you can approach listening to it. So I think with like the space to like giving opportunities for people to have different experiences with it, whether you wanted to be right in this, the middle part of it, and like have that one-on-one experience or be around and kind of chat but still like be focused to the music, and then like the artistic capabilities of it and me as well. Like I think coming to this project, it was like my real first foray into like the sound arts, like seeing and what the artists are doing like with the sound. Like I know for the they're like the third on the tape, Andrew Singh, they made the song Heat, and I was really excited about this piece because unlike a lot of the other tracks, like every track was like great, but like they had like a different, maybe a softer note to them, but like her track was very much about like, oh, like what, like can we show the sun in its like full fury and power and like the heat of it. And I think that's that space where like maybe music, it's, you want to make it super pleasing, but like sound art, you're able to like kind of take these ideas but put them in like the sound format that you listen to, but it's not maybe something you necessarily would quote unquote enjoy, but it's something that like gets you to think, gets you to kind of meditate. So
yeah, it's a very like experiential thing mm-hmm. and I found it very interesting to intentionally experience discomfort through kind of discordant sound. And it was something that when I was at the event and kind of listening to both the art pieces, and I had moved away from the listening room a little bit towards the middle of the event and was sitting kind of amongst some other people who were maybe like quietly talking and hearing other people's responses to like things that were more pleasant versus discordant and how it really shifted their attention.
No, most definitely. And there was even like a moment, Andrew Singh, she performed as one of the live performances, and I can tell like because like the space was really tight and cramped, and like she had her violin, and I loved it, like rocking it, but some people were very uncomfortable and ended up like stepping outside. But I think that's also like part of it. Like for me, that was like, yeah, you left, but like that's also like why we're doing this, because you want to feel that heat, like you can, and the sound was the opportunity to kind of like, you know, like show that. So
absolutely. So we listened to a couple pieces just before we hop back on the mic here. So we heard Forever in the Eyes of a Dreamer by Imix, and then we also heard Prepare to Stop by Matt Nish Lapidus, and I don't think we got a chance to talk about that one.
No.
If you have some words to share.
Yeah. Super interesting track. Matt, he's a artist, designer, also educator based in like Toronto. And this track was really interesting. I mean, it's funny, like the Prepare to Stop, when I'm driving around the city, there's so much construction, I always see Prepare to Stop. So it keep like reminding me of this track. But like talking to him, the track was kind of based on a Super Collider. So if you're not familiar with that, it's like this program where you can basically kind of like program synths, and it's very like technical computer based, but his practice kind of thinks about how you can like make computing and programming on seeing it through more of a poetic medium and seeing like the beauty in like the computer. So he kind of like finds ways to kind of like program and write code for these this kind of music and let it kind of play itself. So
that's wonderful. I really appreciated that piece. It was it mixed like the comfort and discordance mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. nicely. Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple more tracks that we're able to play here, and I just realized that I did not properly pause the cassette player when I brought us back on. So I've done my best to rewind it to approximately where we were. But I guess it looks like the next track we'll hear is Alien Harps.
Mm-hmm. Alien Harps. Yeah, that's Thomas Ivo Dokumenov, artist based in Vancouver. And this track was interesting because I was lucky enough to like meet with him in person. He was telling me about his whole process, and like he's classically trained and whatnot, but he was really interested working with his partner, who's like a sculptist, and they made something called an Aeolian harp. And I thought this was interesting, and like how the track is like, or the cassette is kind of organized, is like the first few are kind of like this kind of almost physical interpretation of the sun. And I thought his track was perfect for it because the Aeolian harps, you like usually want to place it in some kind of like high point in the city. So he went to different parts around the city, like either like the water or like a little like hill, and it kind of collects the wind, and through the wind it like makes the sounds, and that's kind of like makes the harp play. And he kind of took field recordings of that and like the environment, and kind of gave that aspect of like, oh, like you actually can hear the sun through the wind and stuff like this.
That's so beautiful. An instrument that is played by the mm-hmm. environment is mm-hmm. such an incredible concept. Mm-hmm. Let's hop into this. You might hear a little bit of Prepare to Stop before we get mm-hmm. to Aeolian Harps because of my fumble with the cassette player, but we'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That was Heat by Anju Singh. We've come to the end of the program. That really snuck up on me. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jefferson. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me. This has been an awesome show to talk about this.
Is there anything you want to plug, whether it be an upcoming project or a way people can find out more about the work you do?
Yeah. Upcoming project, I'm curating a project with the Hardgrove Studios, kind of like on and about Redgate, but more like kind of generally about kind of DIY spaces in Vancouver and like the perseverance in those spaces. I think the best way to like keep in touch with that project and like a lot of my design curatorial practice is kin.aesthetics, so kinesthetics, but then dot there, or jomastudios.ca is the home for all of my work. But yeah, thank you so much for like bringing me on, and it's been an honor to like talk about this project and work on this project. And yeah, I'm excited to see like how more I feel like this project also is really cool for me to be able to like start being in touch more with like the scene. I just moved back in September, so this was a nice way to kind of like see what's happening and be involved. So
yeah, it was the event, getting to witness this was just like a beautiful window into the possibilities of art in Vancouver. Thank you again so much for joining me today. And if you're listening out there, make sure that you're following the work that Jefferson is doing. And hopefully we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Yeah, most definitely. I'd love to.
All right. Cheers.